Is everybody ready?
Ready,
that wasn't the official start.
It seems that first. I mean, it's.
You want to wait for Marty to come back and all that?
Well, once he hears it, he'll hear the plans and pop it.
Yeah.
Ready? I'd like to call this meeting to order. If everybody could please rise and join me with the pledge to the flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. As per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given that this is a regular meeting of the Borough of Highlands Planning Board, and all requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times, and notice has been posted on the public bulletin board. Roll call.
Mr. Mullen?
Here.
Mr. O'Neill? Absent. Mr. Schulner?
Here.
Mr. Carla? Absent. Mr. Roberts? Ms. Peterson?
Here.
Mayor Nolan? Absent. Ms. Ruby?
Here.
Mr. Gallagher?
Here.
Mr. Stockton?
Here. Okay, so we have a quorum, right? Our agenda is fairly light tonight. We have two things to discuss. The first is under item number 6 on the agenda, new business. Review application and set public hearing date for PB number 2011-1. See Scaturo Irrevocable Trust. Sure. And in your packets, and I think it was actually last month's packets, you did get the plan and the application paperwork for them. There may be some in our information on the desk tonight.
Good evening. For the record, Martin McGann on behalf of the applicant. I have this evening with Walter Hopkins to my right. He is the project engineer. And he has prepared a small exhibit for you just to make things as simple as possible so you can visualize what we intend on doing here. So, three lot subdivision, adjustment of some of the property lines, and Walter will explain what you have.
I remember this was an application that came in a few years ago.
Yes, there was a two lot subdivision at that time. Mm-hmm. It was situated right in those lots area there, lot 7.01 and 7.02.
So this is actually adjacent to that?
Yes, it's okay. In the same area. Okay. It doesn't affect those two lots that were created. Give you a little background. We have already received a capital permit for a proposed new home, which will be known as lot 9.01 of block 1. And I put that into the package early on, so you have a copy of that. If you can't find it, I can certainly provide it again. So what I'd like to do at this time is turn over to Walter. He can explain to you what we intend on doing here. One thing I would like to add before we do get started, we are creating one undersized lot. It's not the intention to construct a home on it, but the intention is to provide water access to a home that is located up above, across the right of way there. So, and Walter will explain that to you.
Okay. Our agenda says this is a review and set public hearing date. Is
right.
That the nature of the business here?
Right.
Yes.
That's
right. Good job. Yeah, he's just going to give us a very cursory.
I'll just give you a concept, that's all.
Yeah,
I'm not
informal.
This is not a public hearing.
I'm not going to have him sign.
No.
Okay.
So you understand the concept. Then
yeah.
Whatever else you need, let us know.
I'll make it brief. It's a very complicated parcel. If you look at the plans, they're a little confusing because there were several parcels that were previously consolidated, probably by the doctrine of merger. So there's parcels all over the place, but what I try to do is color coordinate this, and I can leave this with the board for when we do the public hearing, or I'll bring it back. And what we're doing is we're not creating any net new lots. There will actually be less lots after this reconfiguration of the lots. There's actually 6 lots. 6 lots that are involved 8 will remain, and there's no reconfiguration being proposed. These three lots will be consolidated into one lot, which will give this existing home waterfront access down below.
Okay.
Through this sliver.
That's 1401.
Proposed lot 1401. And that was part of this lot. These two lots will be combined, and a portion of this lot, lot 16, will be the new lot 9.01.
Just try and move his neck. Sure. See, he's got a crick in his neck.
So these three lots will be combined to make this. Part of that lot will be lopped off and added to those two, and these two will be combined. This lot down here, lot 11, we're going to carve a small sliver off to give access, waterfront access, to lot 8. It'll be two separate lots, but they'll be deeded together.
That's the one I referred to as we would agree to a deed restriction on that one.
Sure.
We may want the ability to put a shed on it, or there's a dock or something like that. We can talk about that later.
The variances required are existing variances that exist due to the existing size of lots, with the exception of this sliver down here. Mm-hmm. It's a 25-foot wide lot on paper. Obviously, we're not proposing to build on it, and would propose to build a home there. The only purpose of this is to give access to the water to this lot, which is doesn't have access.
No density variance or anything like that.
No, we're creating less lots in the end. We're going from, I'll take lot out, 8 out of the equation. We're going from 6 lots down to 4, and one of the 4 just being a sliver.
Walter, proposed 1401 is actually 30,000 square feet, where 14 is required, is that correct?
Correct.
And proposed lot 901 is again oversized at 17,000 versus 14,000.
Correct.
So the only one, and again, purpose is to provide waterfront access. If they want to put a dock, the DEP requires that you have land with waterfront for a dock. So that would entitle the owner of lot 8. Make an application to DEP for a dock because they have waterfront access. They own upland. Is that pretty much it, Walter?
It's kind of house cleaning within this trust to kind of get these lots marketable.
Okay.
And the purpose of creating that small lot, this lot right here, doing an easement, is to give you an opportunity to apply for a dock.
Correct.
If there was an easement, you wouldn't be allowed to apply for a dock?
I believe that it has to be ownership.
Yeah, that's what we've been told, because we actually thought of that initially, just provide an access easement. Mm-hmm. DEP said, no, you must own the upland.
How will it work with the riparian grant? Will you have to subdivide that all out?
You can. I talked to Ray Walker. I think you know Andy, mm-hmm. Environmental engineer. You can subdivide the riparian area.
I went through one in Lavalette where we had to do that. And for that case, we found that subdividing the riparian grant wasn't the jurisdiction of the planning board. It's through
state,
all through the state.
We don't do that. No. Right. Anything below the mean high guideline, no. State. And the DEP doesn't seem to have a problem. Actually, we posed a question to the DEP how we should do this. Waterfront lots. These are basically the answers that came back.
Okay. And I know you have to cut through the steep slope there. How are you going to get access to all of those?
Well, this is an existing semi-paved, or at one time was paved. There's an existing right-of-way through here. So it's essentially a driveway.
There's a driveway there now?
Yep. It's an unnamed right-of-way. It's dedicated to the municipality. Many years ago. As a matter of fact, you may recollect, Mr. Stockton, when we were doing 701, 702, we moved some of the dedicated right-of-ways there, vacated one, I believe, and adjusted another one.
Yeah, I remember that was
circle there.
Pretty tricky one.
A lot of stuff going on there.
Are there existing houses on some of these?
There's an
existing house here. So there'll be this large lot will be with this. And this lot 8, this lot here, has an existing home on it. Part of this application will be proposing a home on this lot, which we've already received the cap for. So no new lots, an actual reduction in the number of lots, but one new home.
And Mr. Chairman, you mentioned the steep slopes. Are all of these lots then going to be buildable without interfering with any of the steep slopes and maintaining the setbacks required for the zone?
Well, the only lot that we're proposing to develop is lot 9.01, and we believe we've complied with the steep slope ordinance. We certainly comply with CAP.
And the other lots you'd be creating are buildable lots then?
Well, this lot
would need variances for steep slope.
Well, this lot has a home on it, and we're not proposing any alteration to the home.
Right.
Just adding area to it, waterfront access. Lot 8 has a home on it. We're not proposing anything. We're just providing waterfront access through this sliver. And lot 11.03, I don't believe is buildable. But as far as I know, the applicant has no plans to develop it.
No, we have been unsuccessful in securing any CAFRA permits for existing lot 11 and lot 12.
Which is 11 and which is 12?
Then why would you still want to subdivide that? Like, why wouldn't you incorporate that dark brown lot there into the light brown?
What our final plans will be, what remains of lot 11 and lot 12 would be to deed them together with 701 and 702. They're sold, so they have waterfront access.
Okay.
What's the street address on Portland Road?
88.
Okay. So that the home on the top lot, now that's like a multi-family home, right?
Is it multi-family?
Which one?
There is one on top.
Single family.
Single family.
Okay. These two, the two homes included in this, are both single family.
Large family.
Was it ever multi family?
No, it's my grandfather's house, and he made a room for every one of his children when they come down. And stuff. Still did single family. Never was.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions or concerns or items to point out for them when they come back?
Mr. Chairman, just a comment. If that sheet could be actually submitted to the board, so it would certainly help with the review process.
You know it's bad when your own engineer is telling you that.
That's why. That was my idea.
Some sort of hatching would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need it tonight.
I didn't want to spend hours scratching my head all night. I don't think you guys did either.
Okay. When is
Mr. Chairman, the one lot that they're subdividing in is not buildable. Should we be creating a lot that isn't a buildable lot in the subdivision? Or should there be some resolution as to its purpose established now that this is
well, now to deem the application complete? Or
No.
As part of their
Presentation, should they have some disposition?
Right. I already mentioned we would deed restrict.
Yeah, we're going to require, if approved, deed restrictions that would say it's not developable.
Yeah. Can't build it. Well, anything I had thought of, if we could have maybe a shed to store things on, in case there's a dock there eventually. We can talk about that later. I mean, it's not a deal breaker as I see it. I'll ask you to consider it. But no, we would deed restrict it, that would not be developed. It's basically for access to water. Okay. We record the deed in County Clerk's office.
Okay. What's the pleasure of the board?
Put it on for next meeting.
Sure.
Okay. We have a motion for that.
I'll move. Second.
Oh, second. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call.
Mr. Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Schulner?
Yes.
Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Ms. Ruby?
Yes.
Mr. Stockton?
Yes.
Okay. For October 13th?
October 13th is the next meeting.
If I have any problem with that date, I'll get back to you.
This is around the property owners, have you noticed?
We'll get notice.
Okay, because I'm not sure if I'm going to be conflicted or not, so just to make sure the board is open.
Let's see if we've got you on the list here. What's your address?
Just would hate to make sure.
Where are Ms. Peterson?
Yeah, make sure the board has a quorum.
A lot of people on this list. Take us a little while here.
Well, if you have the plans, it's on the list is there.
The list is on.
I don't see on here yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see.
I may be just far enough away.
It's not as far as you would think sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see, man. I don't see on here. Okay. I'll look again. But.
Okay,
thank you very much for your time.
Okay, take care, Bob. Good night.
Good night.
You want me to leave this here, or I mean, I will snack on it.
Yeah, I think they
can. Yeah, we can probably make it up again.
Okay. Next item on our agenda are actions on any other business. And under that, we have a review of the report regarding the Highlands Business Partnership zoning recommendations, an adoption of a resolution adopting the report and its recommendations.
And you would also have discussion.
Yes.
Yourselves. You don't have to adopt the report, review it, and take it from there.
With discussion.
Okay. Let's get Mr. Truscott sworn.
Okay.
Sir, do you solemnly swear the testimony about giving this marriage the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record and your position with the board. And,
Martin Truscott, planner, consulting planner for the Borough Highlands. I'm employed by T&M Associates.
Okay. And in your packets, you do have a draft copy of that report. And I know if anyone's missing them, there are a few extra copies here.
Yeah. May want to clarify, there were a couple of drafts. The one that's the most recent is stated today, September 8th, 2011.
Yeah, it should be September 8th.
Right. And this report is a result of our subcommittee. We had two subcommittee meetings. I know I was only present at one of them. And good healthy discussion. At the subcommittee, reports back to the planning board each time, and this report is a result of that process. And Marty's here to discuss the report and give us the highlights and answer any questions.
Marty, why don't we mark your report? You have a copy we can mark into evidence?
I got a clean copy.
I know there's one here.
I have a clean copy.
Okay. Why don't we make it B1 with today's date, please? Thank you.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay, as Mr. Stockton said, I'm just here to really hit the highlights of the report. I really would like the subcommittee members to talk about some of the recommendations if they want to. I just want to sort of, I was just really facilitating some of the meetings, and Jack was, your attorney was also present at both subcommittee meetings, and we're both really advising the subcommittee as to, on different planning standards and concepts. And so, in terms of the timing, I just want to explain the timing. Some of the members just got this report either probably this morning or last night. The second subcommittee meeting was on the 24th of August, and I prepared the summary a week later and then sent out to the subcommittee for their review over the holiday weekend. And they some of the members got back to me with some comments and some changes.
And so I incorporate those changes, and so that's why you're just getting it and so recently. So it's really for, as Mr. Zarkin said, discussion and adoption. The planning board can put a stamp on it and say that, yes, we agree with the, all the subcommittee's recommendations, or you know, or you might want to change some things. And so that's why we're here, to discuss it and do that. So let me just hit some of the topics, and then maybe subcommittee members can add some of their own comments and some things that they have, you know, stronger opinions about that they want to make sure that they're clear on. In terms of the Highlands Business Partnership Report, on the first page, and I'll just, as I said, go quickly through this. On the first page, the subcommittee felt they were very impressed with the report itself. It was given a historical review of the borough, the development of the borough, and had a very comprehensive set of recommendations, all the zones, and so it was a lot of effort, and I know the subcommittee, and on behalf of the board, was very appreciative of the input.
Right.
In terms of general comments, also that the subcommittee felt that the understood the gist and the purpose of the partnership's recommendations, but they felt there was sort of a tilt towards density, and I think there was a little bit of a thought that maybe density is not necessarily the answer in terms of residential density, and so there was a little bit of pushback on that. And then the subcommittee also thought that the HBP should really focus on the downtown and really appreciated, would appreciate comments on the downtown area, and some of those things will come up later on as we go through some of the recommendations. I'm now on page 2 under the R1. There's a recommendation that owner-occupied two-family dwellings should be added as permitted use. The subcommittee was strong in disagreement with that proposal because of density and intensity of use and impact on the school system, and notes that there's multifamily uses that are permitted in the multifamily zone and then within the business overlay districts. And I'll just go through all of them, and then we can probably go back, you know, to the whole thing.
Okay.
Rather than take each one. Under single family attached, there was a recommendation that attached townhouse residential units should be permitted. I think it was, the recommendation was through all zones in the borough, through all residential zones. And the subcommittee was, as it says here, was adverse to this recommendation. And I'm not going to go through all the reasoning, except that it's there would be some issues with, you know, scattering of multifamily uses within single family zones and being with not in character and not compatible. Moving to the business zones of B1 and B2, there's recommendation to consolidate the B1 and B2 zones. The subcommittee felt that the B1 and B2 zones should be remain intact as different zones, but the subcommittee was very was welcome to input to work on the permitted uses. A lot of discussion of the uses that are in those zones, how they need to be worked on, enhanced, supplemented, and they didn't really cover what there were problems with getting new uses, new businesses in town because of the zoning ordinance, and so the subcommittee was welcome to taking recommendations in that regard.
Okay.
Under, in that same category now, the top of page 3, allow single-family attached homes in the combined business zone. Again, the subcommittee did not agree with this recommendation for attached homes. And there's several issues with the residences being in direct competition with businesses in the same zone, and then other issues, buffers and screenings for the residences, impact on parking, and then really basically you lose commercial space in the business zone for other businesses, which everybody is also in favor of. Allow wholesale as well as retail use, and in this recommendation, the subcommittee is looking for recommendations from the HBP. Remove assembly uses. Assembly meaning assembly of persons assembling, such as a place of worship. The recommendation or the response of the subcommittee here was that this really should be looked at very carefully. Places of worship is very difficult to regulate with federal law, and then other uses really, you know, some of the nonprofits, they're part of the community, and they're a destination for the downtown. They give it a purpose, and the businesses benefit from that. Under E, allow craft and art-based businesses. I think everybody thought that was a good idea, but we're looking for specific recommendations as to, you know, because you don't want to get anything too industrial or that's going to cause noise or fumes or something. Mixed-use buildings should be permitted. The response was that mixed-use buildings are already permitted within the B1 and B2 business zones in the overlay district, and that was allowed by this board several years ago. And the same thing with hotels. They're all already permitted in the overlay zones. Allow recreational businesses and day spas, fitness centers, and that was discussed at the time of the, I guess, when the master plan and reexamination, and the fitness clubs were allowed in the highway-oriented business zone up on the Route 36. There were issues about parking at that time, and I think if you're talking, if there's some, if you know, a yoga club or something like that, or Pilates type of thing, maybe there might be some consideration if that's that might be possible in the downtown area. I mean, in my personal opinion, it may be an upstairs use or, you know, a second story use.
Mm-hmm.
Allow convenience stores for us. There's a whole list of other uses. I'm sorry, I'm on top of page 4 under I. Allow a whole variety of different uses, and some of those uses that were listed by the partnership are already permitted in the ordinance, but again, the subcommittee said we're happy to take some input and amending the ordinance if there's some issues. Under J, prohibit or restrict the whole list of uses, not so nice uses. Again, I think this is where you get into your seek legal counsel, your board attorney, and I think you need to look at it on a case-by-case basis. You know, but towns can prohibit certain uses within certain limits. I think that's a fair statement. But it's just has to be done carefully. And
statutes are very restrictive in the case law. So it can be done, but it has to be done.
Okay. Two general comments in the middle of the page, on page 4. The subcommittee did not support the extension of either the B1 or B2 zones along the full length of Bay Avenue. And second, uses permitted in the downtown, proposed in the downtown, should really establish whether it's going to be first floor or upper story use. So there should be some consideration when the board says, okay, we want this use, we want to amend the ordinance. Is that something you want on the first floor or you want upper story? So I think that's something that is important. Under 4, the waterfront commercial zones, WTC and WC, there's a recommendation of the partnership to consolidate the WT zones into one waterfront zone, and the subcommittee supports that concept as long as it doesn't conflict with direct access to the waterfront by true marine uses. So just a matter, so maintain the real purpose of the marine zones, but as long as it's done.
Okay.
Moving to number 5 was there's no comment because there's no change for the WTR zone. Under the highway-oriented business zone, PB, there's two different sections. One is the highway-oriented zone. The recommendation was to add some service-oriented uses. The review was that a lot of those uses are already permitted, and then, of course, the recreational uses permitted up in the highway. Under the BP zone, allow uses in the MX zone and the PB. MX zone was a very specific zoning amendment that the board adopted, the borough council adopted, and it was set up for a 6-acre minimum. So I don't know if it's necessarily that whole concept is transferable to another zone. So and that's basically what the response is there.
Mm-hmm.
Under 7, on page 5. In the mixed-use zone, there's the HBP had a series of recommendations of expanding that zone to different areas, and the subcommittee did not support that recommendation. Again, there's the MXD was set up in a specific manner, and so changing that would create some non-conforming uses, and the uses that are permitted in that zone are specific in terms of townhouses, multifamily, but and then some commercial as long as it's integrated with a residential development. Under the mobile home, on top of page 6, number 8, under mobile home zone, there's a recommendation to remove the mobile home zone designation, and the response was that's already been done in terms of the mobile home park downtown is really has already been changed to MXD, and then the Shadow Lawn Trailer Park, the planning board made a recommendation of that, I guess, 2 months ago. So that's already been dealt with. So that's the board's already made a recommendation on that. Number 9 and 10 are really two items that came up in discussion at the meetings. They were not part of the partnerships report. One was redevelopment, and based on there was really I'll give Jack credit in terms of bringing up the whole idea of redevelopment plans as a zoning tool that the town could possibly use. And so I think the HBP seemed to be intrigued with that as a tool for zoning, and so there's some good dialogue on that, and so I just mentioned it in terms of the discussion and just briefly that so that it's sort of doesn't get dropped, and maybe some follow through on that in terms of the redevelopment.
If I may, I just want to make sure the public understands that the recommendation was never to include eminent domain right. Or any of that sort of thing.
And that's what this report says. There's discussion of it, not talking about eminent domain, only the redevelopment plans and the benefits of the redevelopment plans of adopting specific standards for redevelopment. And number 10 is code enforcement. There was a lot of discussion on code enforcement in subcommittee meetings about that a lot of the issues that were raised in the report could be possibly solved with enhanced code enforcement. And I think there seems to be general agreement by everybody that needs to be.
Thick picture book and
there's evidence of that. Yeah, if we go through that and I think the recommendation was, or one of the recommendations of that part was that maybe the HBP should be also involved in the code enforcement process in terms of pointing out properties that need to be addressed and you know maybe some peer pressure type of thing too. So that's really the quick highlights of it. I'll take any questions or something, but maybe some of the subcommittee members want to talk to in terms of some of their thoughts. Or
anybody have any questions or comments or things to add or edit or change or anything?
No? I think Marty gave a very good overview of the two subcommittee meetings.
Yeah, I think we hashed it over pretty good.
And I do too.
And in terms of the public, the process, there's, as I said, two meetings. Both of them were open to the public. At the first meeting, members of the HPP representatives came to the board, the planning board, full planning board, and spoke
right.
extensively. And then two members came to the subcommittee, first subcommittee meeting, and spoke quite extensively, reviewing their report, a lot of dialogue and back and forth. And then the second committee meeting, subcommittee meeting, there was again, open to the public, but it was, basically there was really no public involvement.
Right. Should we open it up to the public for questions or comments from the public?
Any questions or?
I see some people in our audience here. Does anybody have any questions about the report?
Yeah, identify yourself for the record.
Rosemary Ryan, 117 Highland Avenue.
Thank you.
I actually have a letter from one of my neighbors, but let me ask this to clarify. You are not recommending that they zone uptown Highlands for multifamily or two-family housing.
Right. That's correct. Right.
So does that mean it will stop at this point? Because I know there are letters that have been sent to the council and to the board
The process is, the council referred something over to us for review. We have no mandatory powers. We can't make anybody do anything one way or the other. We just are here to give a review and make recommendations from a planning perspective. The report that the board prepares is just that, recommendations, because we can't tell the council what to do or not to do. We can just give them the information that we find is relevant. Send it over to council. Council takes it. Council can, obviously they have to review the report. They can accept some of it, reject it in whole, accept it in whole. It's their prerogative how they do it. Whether or not they have to have a full majority vote, a supermajority of the entire council, or just a quorum, really depends on how they handle the review of what we send over. So planning is the agency that typically handles these sort of things, and it's the right place to go. And the comments are made, and there's reasoning for the board's position, let's say for their recommendation against permitting the two-family, multi-family, and a single-family zone. And it's up to the council to take it and do what they wish with it.
So as far as any objection for any of the neighbors that live in the neighborhood where you're discussing this,
right,
would you rather we saved it for...
No, I ruled this earlier this evening. Somebody had sent an email.
I have the email.
And it's fine. I believe I said it was okay to give to the board members, which I believe has already been photocopied and given to all the board members. Because unlike
there are
an application,
two. There's one from Steve Zalecki and one from Frankie.
Okay, we'll take all of them because this is more of a legislative type here, where the rules of evidence are very loose. It's not like if this were an application for development, I would not allow the board to review such things because they can't cross examine the people who offered the documents unless they're here present. But in this case, I believe the board may have one, if not both, and the board, they considered it, and obviously there's a recommendation. I saw the one email that said, please do not go with the two families and the single family. The board's already followed up on that, and they're going in that direction anyway. Your real opportunity to have some say and substance to, in terms of where a vote is going to come down, to what that's meaningful, is at the council level.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sir?
David Minster, 1 Scenic Drive. Apologize, I've not been kept up to date as much as I would have. The passing comment was made on the Shadow Lake. It was dealt with a couple months ago by the board. Can you please tell me, what is Shadow Lake, that property, that parcel, precisely zoned for today? And is it before the planning?
Shadow Lawn?
Shadow Lawn, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Shadow
I'm not. Marty, would you know?
But it's still zoned
mobile home.
Yeah. So, yeah, but there's nothing before the planning board that's been, there was approval by the board, but that's been thrown out by the courts.
Right.
And so that's null and void, that approval. So it's
yeah,
mobile home.
So at the moment it's not mid-rise, this rise, no rise, it's not. It's just mobile home park?
Right, zoning wise, yeah. The board makes
so this report. You made a comment that when you brought up that part, you said the board, and your words were, I believe, that the board dealt with that a couple of months ago. What was that?
There was, I have to get the details of it, but the board, again, had a subcommittee, subcommittee. Let me see if I quickly give you basically, the board adopted a resolution, adopting a report with a whole series like three or four pages dealing with density, ridgeline protection, density bonuses, height and stories. So you have to see, you have to get maybe from Carolyn.
So I guess I'm trying to get clarification.
Yes.
Where does that park stand at this point? It's a mobile home park. There's no application before the board for rezoning of them?
Not that I'm aware of. Right? I mean, I'm not aware of anything else.
Okay. But you're understanding? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Lori Dibble, 32 Paris Park. I was at the second subcommittee meeting, and I wanted to clarify. So it seemed from the discussion there wasn't that they were saying that they should move towards redevelopment, just that the kinds of changes that they were looking for were not appropriate for zoning, and maybe could only be accomplished through redevelopment if that's what they wanted to. Prescott's report made it sound like you were recommending that they go for
let me just read, it's a couple sentences if the board doesn't mind. It's not, maybe it's not, I didn't make it clear. The report says there's a discussion at the July subcommittee meeting concerning the use of redevelopment for purposes of zoning. The subcommittee is not recommending the use of eminent domain, only the consideration of the adoption of one or more redevelopment plans in specific areas to achieve zoning goals.
That doesn't characterize the discussion I heard at the subcommittee meeting.
Okay, well,
why don't the members of the board who were in attendance say whether or not that's their wishes? It's their call.
From the July meeting, the meeting that I was president, I know we talked about it briefly, and I agree with this paragraph. I think it fits my ideas behind it.
I think I would agree with Lori in terms of the characterization of it. It wasn't the board's intent to encourage redevelopment. It was actually brought up by Jack as a method that was used successfully in Asbury Park, and that it may be something that business partnerships into as a methodology instead of changing zoning, because zoning is very, very tedious and slow.
Correct. Yes. For the other members of the public, Pete, just enunciating what Peter has said. My experience with really trying to make changes in an area, if you just change a zoning ordinance, that's an extremely slow process. None of us may be here by the time you see the results, because it takes many, many years. So if you make wholesale changes to a zoning district, it very rarely will get to the goals that you want to get to. If you use a redevelopment plan, not with eminent domain, I'm not talking about taking people's homes or anything like that, but if you want to achieve major visual changes and use changes within a zoning district, one of the vehicles to do it is either through rehabilitation or redevelopment plan, because it speeds up the process and it encourages the property owners that have a stake in the outcome to get on board with it. Okay, it may still take 5 or more years, but it won't take 20 or 25 years. Okay, and so that was the only reason I brought it up. That one method gets you to where you want to be quicker as opposed to the other.
Let me pick up.
I don't know that there was any consensus that that's something.
That's up to the board. Yeah. The board will decide. What I don't get involved in the subjective vote and stuff. Okay. So Peter's voiced his opinion.
Sir?
Yeah, I would agree. We didn't make a recommendation. Right.
Okay.
Just know that we refer to the master plan, and basically concluded it wasn't something we were going to try to take on at this point.
Okay. Hey, sir?
Yeah, Charlie Persia, on Scenic Drive. I'm a little confused myself, just bear with me a little. I wonder, past the meetings here, you were discussing shallow lawn. Discussing high rises, mid rises, and everything else, and I took for granted, or that you were proposing for a zoning change. Is that dead now? I mean, you were talking about parking on the levels, you were talking about mid rises, you were talking about trailer camps. On the last one, and I sat there the whole night, and when I left, I was under the impression that it was wrong. I'd like you to clear it up for me so everybody else would know what's going on. Is it no longer in? Was that meeting didn't have any?
No, these are, they're two unrelated items, I think.
Yes.
We reviewed the recommendation for the proposed ordinance changes for ordinance 0707 whatever, which included, which is what you participate, what you were observing. The board already voted on that and sent their report out at the last meeting, I think it was, in August.
Yeah. Is that for no high rise? That's for mid rises.
Right.
Up to six levels, parking on the ground.
Yes.
And discussing the trailers, I don't know what the outcome
was. Yeah, well, that was in the report that was attached to that recommendation that went back to council.
And has nothing to do with the zoning here.
This one is a different, this is not part of that, correct?
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, you know, only in the sense that the HPP recommended that the mobile home park be rezoned to MXD. So as just mentioned, that the board dealt with one of the zones, Paradise Park, and the shuttle lawn trailer.
sorry, the Paradise Park was dealt with in the ordinance MXD zone, and this report in August, adopted in August, was already made a recommendation for shelter.
So, clear it up for me. Does that mean that that is dead? Or does that mean that their zoning is in a different ordinance than what we're talking about? And they can go further on there, right?
Yes. Again, in that case, the borough council sent a letter to the planning board, said give some guidance on that, on the shuttle lawn control park in terms of zoning. The board and subcommittee met and made a recommendation and sent it back to council. Now it's in council's lap, the planning board's recommendation. So that's where it is right now. So what they do with it, they may follow the recommendation, or they may do something different. So nothing, it's just recommendations and advisory at this point. Is that clear to that, or? No? Nothing's approved. Yeah, nothing. It's just a discussion level, yeah.
And if they go to put a new rise, they have to come back?
Well, they can't do that. I mean, it's zoned as mobile homes right now. We can't go mid rise, you can't go high rise.
What
so
the county
ordinance put in place, which needs to read before anything can come to place.
Right. Plus, any proposed ordinance would still have to come back here for our review again.
Right.
So, go ahead, Peter. You were going to say something. I'm sorry.
I think you clarified.
Okay.
Any other questions from the public?
Are we going to change the wording with regard to the suggestion by Lori? Is there a way that we could?
Sure, that's what the board.
Satisfied that. I don't know where the board was going on that. I think I spoke. Janet spoke.
I guess we would need some sort of suggestion on how to change that wording.
Well, if you want to just give me latitude to work up some wording, basically saying that the planning board's not taking a stance in terms of encouraging, it's more neutral stance on the whole use of redevelopment. And I can add that to the
correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
If that's appropriate or fair.
Okay.
But is that basically, I just want to make sure the board's okay with that in terms of just basically that it's not encouraging redevelopment. It was just another tool as opposed to use of zoning.
That's how I understood it. As okay.
That's fair. I mean, yeah. It's a fair comment in terms of what discussion. I don't think what's in here says there's any recommendation to go towards redevelopment. It's just sort of a foothold and discussion point that, you know, that I think was important for both parties.
Missy, you had a question?
My name is Michelle Pizzullo, and I live at 115 Highland Avenue. This is in reference to the meeting minutes of July 14th, and I just would like some clarification if possible. I know you don't have it in front of you, so I'll just kind of...
Well, this isn't... We're talking
is
about...
Is this an open...
No. This is specifically addressing the committee report and the review that we're doing.
Oh, for the Highlands Business Review?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, this has to do with that.
Okay. Well, then.
Carla Braswell stated that the HBP focused on what they looked at where the disposable income comes from. And I wanted to know, did they conclude that that would come from residential apartments coming, being...
Who's that? Who's the they you're referring to?
The HBP.
We couldn't answer that.
So, and then there, I would like to know, Mr. Kobe had said that there was a piece of property on the hill that maybe use and to give it its highest and best use. What defines poor use and whose idea of best use of that land would be? Mr. Colby also went on to state that basically there is a piece of property up on the hill and you're using a piece of property that at this time is doing nothing. So what I wanted to know, does this mean that this property is filled with trees, nature, and there's just no building on it,
We couldn't answer those questions because we're not the individuals who made the comments. You'd have to ask him directly what he meant by it.
Okay. And you questioned Mr. Colby's theory and disagreed on the condos having helped the town. And I just wanted to know, maybe you, I don't know if you know what Mr. Colby meant, but did he mean that they don't come downtown to shop and that's why you're trying to get the disposable income?
I'm really reluctant. These were very, very long meetings. I'm reluctant to characterize his comments at that. But my feeling is that in general, the HPP felt that the highest and best use of the land was to get the best tax revenue for the town and thereby get more disposable income that would benefit the business district. So sort of overview.
But don't we also have like ordinances with so many trees and stuff, and I mean, a tree drinks up 50 gallons of water a day, and so if
I don't think we discussed anything about trees in this, absolutely.
But I mean, so what, like, who defines the use of this land on the hill?
I think that characterization is not, doesn't mean empty, but something else. It's empty maybe in use or some other thing.
Perhaps the things that are broken should
in there. Last item, code enforcement.
I saw that.
Well, that's it. And I don't know who Mr. Colby is. I thought it was one of you, but
no,
there
were two people, Carla Braswell and Mr. Colby. They presented that their ideas, their report. So that does not represent the feelings of the board.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the public? Seeing them, how
oh,
about,
no, I'm fine, thank you.
How about any comments on the draft report that we've prepared?
I thank you for your recommendations. What I've heard so far tonight and what I've read, I have to say, I'm sure you don't hear this often. You're doing a mighty fine job.
Write that down.
I'll have to come to a board of ed. How about that?
Hopefully that made it to the record. Thank you very much. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public comment and question portion of this process.
Discussion by the board.
Any more discussion by the board?
I think it's just with that clarification that Mr. Wolf pointed out
the report's fine. Okay. I have a question for Jack about what to do with all of the other, in addition to the draft report that we have some other email notes and things.
Okay, well, everybody has them in their package. I assume you looked at them for the scan. Okay. So they're in, why don't we take them all? Why don't I have them? I'll mark them. Let's get them marked as whole folder of all of these are those documents,
and those are even some of the older draft reports in there.
Okay. We'll take a series of documents. I guess they're emails from various members of the public. We'll put them under paperclip. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 pages of them. I'll give you the authors: Christian Lee, July 5th, 2011. Ida and Barry Fisher from July 14th, 2011. Councilman Francie, September 8th. And Frank Keenan and Sharon Keenan from September 8th. Same one, that's the fourth. So what we'll do is, and all those comments were considered by the board, the comments made by those individual citizens and the councilmen were considered by the board. And we'll make this packet as P1 for public one, please.
Jack?
Yes?
Would it be appropriate not to send that along with our report?
No, you don't send them on with your report. I'm just putting them in the record that they were considered by the board.
Good.
The only document to go over to the council is a resolution and a report.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. And Andrew, I will give you back your phone.
Okay. Thank you. And
just before you, what I would do is I would just convert this over to a report of the full planning board as opposed to the report of the subcommittee. Just replace that if the board was voted firmly.
My resolution is characterized with an annexation of the report. So you make it final, we'll attach it.
Right, and make that one change.
And make it to go through. Now, the members of the board, I mean, before you discuss any further or move it, they're the members of the board who are eligible to vote on this because we did consider this prior to prior meetings. Unless anyone who was here this evening who was not at prior meetings listened to the tapes of the testimony before the board, you did that? Okay, please state so for the record.
Sherry Ruby, I listened to the tapes.
Oh, okay. All right, great. If we need a certification, we'll have Carolyn get it to you to sign off on it. Okay, so the eligible...
I don't know if you need my vote or not, but I listened to it.
It's okay. Noted.
It's noted. Okay. We'll get an affidavit if from Carolyn. Okay, so the members, both people who just spoke, of course, go through the list. Mr. Mullen, Mr. Schollner, Mr. Parle, who is here. You can hear everything anyway. Ms. Peterson, Mayor Nolan, Chairman Stockton, Mr. Gallagher. So, with that... Do as you please.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Thank you.
Comments or questions or additions? No. So we'll entertain a motion to adopt this draft report as discussed tonight with its corrections and additions and amendments, converting it to a final report of the planning board and transmitting it to mayor and council for their consideration.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? No? Roll call.
Mr. Mullen?
I would say yes, and thanks to Marty for his help.
Mr. Schollner?
I say the same. Yes.
Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Ms. Ruby?
Yes.
Mr. Stockton?
Yes, and thank you also, Marty, for your help.
Can I also have that, just a quick amendment that would also include the approval of the report, but also the resolution, so that we can have that signed and sent over?
Yes.
Thank you. Anyone object to that who just voted?
Okay. Next item on our agenda are approval of the minutes from the August 11th meeting. I'm not sure if everybody has had a chance to review them. I don't think they quite made it to the packet.
No,
but they were emailed out.
And I did make one recommendation for a change to Karen this afternoon.
Yes, and she did do that, and she emailed them back to you.
Okay, and it had to do with the vote on the resolution.
Yes, and she did make the change.
And in particular, my vote.
Yes.
I wrote a note, but she had me in the email.
She changed it. I witnessed.
Okay, so then I guess
I can't we'll... vote on the minutes. I didn't read them. I didn't read my email either. So I'm out of it.
You'll be in May?
I'll offer them.
Here stands.
So we have an offer, a second.
Who offered, please?
Peter Mullen. Second was Janet Peterson. Any other discussions, notes, corrections, additions?
No? All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain?
Abstain.
And I'm going to abstain too. I didn't read
okay.
That's fine. But it seems to me like the motion carries. So the minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda are communications and vouchers. And I think there is a little bit of correspondence like there always is in the packets. So please pay attention to that. And next item after that is a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None? Meeting is adjourned.
All in favor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
My desk at work.